talk about a viral video I saw yesterday that I had to keep watching because I thought, is this actually real? Did this really happen? Imagine busting your partner actually cheating. Because we hear people, you find out your partner's cheating through a friend or maybe through social media. One way or another, you can find out your partner's.
Like just seeing it for yourself on a video or something.
Actually walking, opening a door going, whoa.
Okay.
So how's this? And I think it was in the States. A woman's opened the door of the house, walked in and seen her partner, her boyfriend, and another woman scantily clad, basically in lingerie, and they're sort of getting it on. But there's music on in the lounge room. They're dancing.
Is that the old, this is not what it looks like?
Well, what's happening?
Oh, you're busted.
This is one of the funniest things, though. So the girl, so she's opened the door and the girl that he's cheating with has just frozen, like just actually frozen as if she's a statue. And then he suggests that it's actually a sex toy. And she's saying, no, she's a doll. It's not really a person. And on the video, the woman and swearing every expletive in the world and saying, that's not a doll. It's you're dancing with a woman. And then she starts prodding her and poking
this
her.
This is a comedy sketch. This is not. That's
why I kept watching it because I went, is this actually happening? But the woman is just like committed, not moving, just decided.
She's invested.
I'm a sex doll. And that's why, that's all that's happened here. It's an amazing video. But as I was watching it, I thought, and, you know, more credit to them for their creativity. But imagine that. Because I'll never forget that movie Sliding Doors with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Okay.
I remember.
Where was the sex doll in that film?
No, there wasn't.
That's when she walked into the train and she missed it and then she got on it and they played two different sides.
Yeah, and one side was when she went home because she spilled coffee on her blouse.
Yes.
And her boyfriend's in bed with another woman. And Sophie Monk, Australia's very own bachelorette, I remember when she was engaged to a plastic surgeon in LA. And they broke up because she walked into the bedroom and he was in bed with another woman.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Didn't know that.
But 131060, I would love to hear some first-hand stories.
If you're listening, Soph.
Give us a call.
We'll give Soph a call and get her to retell that really traumatic thing that happened in her life. But have you caught your partner actually cheating? Whether it's you've been walking down the street and you've looked in a car and you've just like, that's my boyfriend kissing another woman. Like, have you actually seen it?
Could we have a secondary question? Have you pretended to be a sex doll?
Well, I'm very...
Byron!
We can.
Stay in your lane.
Just wondering. 131060.
Fifi, Fev and Byron. 1019, The Fox.
A woman busted her partner cheating on a video that's now gone viral where he was in the lounge room with another woman in lingerie. And when the girlfriend burst into the room, the lingerie-clad cheating girl just froze and then the boyfriend tried to convince his girlfriend that it was a sex doll and she wasn't real. Now, that is a great way of attempting to get out of cheating, but it's more the idea of walking in and seeing it for yourself. And I'm not just talking about intimate act. I mean, that's really full on, but even just hand-holding, kissing, just watching your partner do that with someone else would be so traumatizing. Corey in Hillside. Hi, Corey.
How you going?
Good, Corey. Did you unfortunately catch your partner at it?
Yes, I did.
Could we reword that? That didn't quite feel right.
Or at it in some way or another.
Great, okay.
Did you find your partner romantically involved with someone else, Corey?
Yes, I did.
What happened?
Well, I was with her for 6 years, got engaged, and one night after work, because I was working afternoon shift, I come home to surprise her and found her in bed with one of my mates.
Oh,
geez.
And he was also married. So,
Corey, can you tell us, because we see this in the movies, even Love Actually, the brother, Hugh Grant finds his brother in bed with, oh no, it's Colin Firth. Anyway, but what actually happens in real life? You opened the door, Corey. What could you speak? Were you shocked? Were you swearing? Were you yelling? Did you yell at him or her? What happened?
Oh, I swore and said a few nasty words and just grabbed my stuff and I left.
Wow. Did somebody chase you with a sheet wrapped around them?
Nah.
Best to check. No one pretended to be a sex doll at any point, Corey?
No, they were actually mid-act.
Oh, okay, that's enough.
Wow.
Let's move on.
Really unfortunate.
I wonder if
Sorry
he ended up with
that,
his
Corey.
Wife.
Oh, that's the best revenge.
That would be a great movie.
Do you know, Shania Twain did that.
Whoa,
did she?
Really?
Yeah, her best friend and her husband hooked up.
That's right.
And then Shania hooked up with her best friend's husband.
Bang.
There you go. Just swappies.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Swapsies. Aaron in Hoppers Crossing. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Aaron, did you have the unfortunate displeasure of seeing your partner?
Yes, I took my partner and one of my best mates to Thailand on our 3rd-year anniversary, and I got tattooed for 15 hours on last night, and I walk home, like I come home, and yeah, they're in bed together.
So you took your best mate away with you
and
your wife.
It's already an unusual format, isn't it, for the three of them to go away?
Yeah, well, we had 2 bedrooms and there was a bunch of other mates over there at the same time.
Oh, okay. Is Aaron, can I
Hope the tattoo wasn't her name or anything,
what did
was it?
You say? What happened? And are you still was that the end of the marriage?
We went crazy and then stormed
had
out.
It been going on, Aaron, or was it a drunken night?
I generally don't have a clue.
You've just walked. Well done, Aaron, as you should.
What tattoo did you get?
I got a sleeve.
A sleeve.
Sweet.
Well, you've got something out of it in the end. I mean, a wonderful piece of art on your own.
Fifi, Feb and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
We love having little family meetings on air because we think you listening are part of our family. We are a community, a family show here. Now, Byron, Feb, I overheard something in the office yesterday and I didn't like it. I thought to myself, no, this doesn't seem fair, and I feel like the proper channels haven't been gone through. So we all know our wonderful senior producer on the show, brother to Scotty James, Olympic snowboarder, Tim.
is he a senior producer, Tim? He's more a junior.
Well, he's the assistant of our executive producer, but I'm trying to big him up. He needs his confidence built up. The X Games has just happened. His brother just won a silver medal. So let's keep him buoyed.
That flip was amazing.
Now, Tim's in the studio because... Hi, Timmy.
G'day, guys.
Now, Tim's here because yesterday I heard a conversation where he was pleading with our executive producer, Leon, and our boss, Adrian, to have a segment idea that he would like the show to use taken seriously. Now, apparently he has been pestering Leon and Adrian all summer, saying, I've got a great idea for the show. And
all holidays,
All holidays. Yeah. Well, thank you for working on the show over your holidays. Right.
Thanks
Tim.
For being here. Yeah, we weren't here, so I'm glad someone was.
But secondly, and I think you'd agree, Fev.
I didn't think about the show one bit.
Why is Tim wasting time on Leon? And come straight to us, Tim. We have no idea what this idea is for the show. And now, everyone listening, if you like this idea, let's
support
us know. Tim and get it on the show.
When we hear this, Tim, now, do you see this as a one-off idea or do you see it as a more of a recurring thing that we do quite often?
I see it recurring, Byron. Maybe once a week, twice a week.
Twice a week?
A bi-weekly benchmark, Tim. Okay. You've aimed high. Okay, so here we are. You're like on Shark Tank at the moment. Okay. The three of us are all staring at you. Tim, what is your idea?
So what I'll do, Byron, is I'll actually get you to fire off the opener, and then finishes and there's a bed, I'll do my pitch over the bed.
Those openers, those jingles take a lot of time to produce. Have you been wasting people's time here on a segment that's not even confirmed?
Like we were saying before, over summer I did work on this idea.
I wonder I couldn't get my coffee on time yesterday.
It's a good pitch already. Okay.
So
he's worked on an opener.
You want your jingle?
Let's fire the jingle. Oh, Sicky, you're so fun. I want to put one all the time.
Hey, Sicky. Hey, Sicky. Okay, guys, it's time for Hey, Sicky, the best new radio game on radio at the moment.
Jeez. So what we're going to do is, it's Monday morning. You're feeling like you don't want to go to work. Give us a call if you want to pull a sickie. You can call your boss. We'll listen in on the chat. And if they give you a sick day off, you get $100. And they get $100 as well for giving a sickie.
Okay.
Okay.
I like your idea, Tim. But I'm a smart man.
Why is the bed gone?
Sorry, boss.
So if Byron was my boss, I'd go, hey, bro, I'm going to ring you tomorrow morning. Give me the day off. We'll split the 100 each and people are going to take the piss.
Oh, he has found a flaw in the great plan.
Because you said
Tim.
It's every Monday, so you've actually flagged when it's going
to
happen.
To second that, Tim, I think it's a brilliant idea and I support it. I think great. The only thing I will say, and I will remind you of our codes, we're not allowed to put anyone to air that doesn't know they're being recorded. So
the codes.
the
things that you
code
read
training.
When you start working here.
So our legal team wouldn't let us air the conversation with the boss without his knowledge. And if he had knowledge, then it loses its spontaneity.
Okay, the codes,
but it's a great idea, Tim. Everyone throws up a lot of ideas in our meetings, and
imagine
two of them get put in the bin, and that's your first one. And you just got a little bit.
I've got lots more. So.
Oh. Oh, Sicky, you're so fun. I want to
put one all the time. Hey, Sicky. Hey, Sicky. You know what we've stumbled across? Every week, the benchmark is you give us a crap idea that we don't do.
Pitch in another one next week, Tim. Best of luck. Off you go.
All right.
Remember to do all the other work you've got to do on the
show. I'll do the open. I'll do everything.
But also your job. Fifi, Fev and Byron,
101.9 The Fox. Really disturbing news has surfaced this morning and some shocking footage of a patient suffering cerebral palsy at a Caulfield hospital being mistreated by a worker there. The patient was being grabbed by the male nurse by the throat. Horrible for that man's family to see this footage and to see the way their son's being treated, their loved one's being treated. And it happens a little too often when you have vulnerable people in care, and I'm not just talking about vulnerable people in hospitals, this can be in nursing homes. And when these stories surface, they really do put the spotlight on these industries and these companies and these hospitals. And I want to start by saying there are incredible people in our health industry.
Extraordinary
people that are showing incredible patience and love and support. And I constantly tip my hat to nurses, doctors, staff, the caring, beautiful people who work in hospitals and nursing homes and care facilities. And then occasionally, and I think it's really important to point this out, one or two slip through and they shouldn't be there. Their behaviour is inappropriate. They're not cut out for the job that needs to be done. And unfortunately, in these cases, when there are people who need high care, And I know this, and when I was visiting my grandmother in her nursing home, and you'd see people that were incapacitated, the patience required is extraordinary. And I don't think even many people have that patience. That's
very
why
special
I,
people.
Very special.
My pop's in nursing home as well. And when you go visit him, you see other people sitting around, and they're just because they can't move, they're just watching TV. But the nurses will all go around, and they're so caring. And I think last time we were in there, Alex started crying because it was like, oh my God, how do these people have the patience to care for our loved ones when obviously we can't do it anymore? So that's why they go in there. So we put the trust in the people that work in those industries to love and to look after our loved ones. And obviously the 1% of this, that's happened.
And that you're right, Fev, so many do it so well. And I think that they need to be thought about today and acknowledged for their incredible work and attention that they give so many loved people around Melbourne. But I am going to focus on this case for a minute because this is not the first time an incident like this has come to light in the news in the last couple of years. And I personally believe, and then this brings the question of CCTV security footage in people's hospital rooms, but that infringes on their privacy. Because I'm a big advocate of if you've got somebody that's in a situation like this poor man, and he's a young patient, he's got cerebral palsy, he was born with it. He's actually ended up in hospital because he was struck by a vehicle last May and he suffered a significant brain injury, multiple leg and rib fractures. So for the family to leave him in the care of someone that would treat him like this, and we are going to play the audio, and this is a little ears warning. This is horrible what we're about to play, and it'll make me cry again. I actually, watching the footage was so distressing. But if you have somebody in the car and you don't think they should hear this, this is what happened in the Caulfield Hospital to this young man.
Can you stand up again? Ow. Good. Ow. 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 I was shower.
No, you don't want to shower. I was trying to spray you. You were trying to... You want to punch me, right?
That's horrific, Boxy. And to get that footage, did the family actually have an inkling that something was going on so they put a camera in there secretly?
They'd had concerns. They'd raised concerns about his treatment with the hospital, with staff many times. For months they sat there saying they were totally ignored, and they were concerned because he was losing weight and showing signs of bruising. it's really tough, isn't it? Because I feel for the other nurses and I feel for the other carers at that hospital, because they would be incredible people in there that are really caring for patients. But this happens, and I personally, if I'm a big advocate of, if you believe you've put somebody in care and you want CCTVs in there to supervise or to be across how they're being treated, I think that should be absolutely.
I think it overrides the right to privacy.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, it's a debate, but I agree.
It is a debate, but I understand maybe not mandatory in every hospital room in every retirement village across Melbourne, but I do believe if you have a family member who is suffering from dementia, senility, a condition where they can't speak for themselves, they haven't got a voice, I think you should be allowed to put a CCTV camera in that room so you can see what's going on, because no one should have anything to hide.
That's exactly right, Boxy. And if you're in a hospital or you're in a retirement village, you're paying for that room. So you actually pay for that room. So if you're at a house and you think you put CCTV around your house to protect your house.
Mm.
So there's no reason why if I was to go into hospital, I can buy a camera and put it in there because it's got nothing to do with anyone else. And the hospital shouldn't object, because if there's nothing going wrong,
then there's exactly. Because it ends up being, Fev, it ends up being these secret videos, secret recordings. Mm. And we all go, whoa, we put our loved ones in care. And 131060, it would be interesting to know if anyone has had a similar experience. Have you maybe experienced this firsthand, or you've had a family member in care and you've caught somebody, I guess, mistreating them, and maybe you haven't had a voice, and maybe, you know, not everyone can get a current affair to come down and support their story. But we would love you to share any stories like this that you feel need to be brought to light.
The call's already coming through. 131060.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 1019, The Fox.
Shocking footage has emerged showing a nurse abusing a defenceless patient at Caulfield Hospital. Shocked us this morning. We just played some of the audio before. And I think it is very important to point out there are bad eggs in every industry. One or two slip through the cracks. And we, and I personally, such a big fan and advocate of all the caring, loving hospital workers, people working in aged care facilities, do an incredibly, incredible, extraordinary job being patient and loving with the loved ones that we entrust with their care. But occasionally this happens. And the thing is, it shouldn't happen. And that if I come to a time when I need to put anyone in my family in a care facility, I don't care what it takes, I am not allowing them to be abused by anyone. And it has raised the issue of CCTV again. And because these are always surreptitiously filmed, somebody puts in a little hidden camera because they're concerned their loved one is being mistreated. And then it leaks and we all go, well, hang on, put CCTV footage or cameras in these facilities. But there is privacy that needs to be considered. The proposal I'm suggesting is, understandably, not across the board, mandatory video surveillance in all care facilities. But if you request it, if you're a patient and you request it, if you have a patient that can't speak for themselves because of their medical condition and you're a family member, I think you should be allowed to have CCTV vision in that facility.
I don't think many disagree. Upon request, I think it makes sense.
Yeah, it does, but it's not getting past any laws at the moment because of the Privacy Act, which I understand and I do respect. But anyway, we have said, do you, anyone else in Melbourne, have examples of this, mistreatment of loved ones or yourself in when you are hoping to just be cared for? Sam's in Coburg. Hi, Sam.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Good, Sam. I mean, this is a really troubling, disturbing case that we're talking about. Can you relate to it?
Yeah, so look, it's bringing back some pretty horrible memories for me and my family. So my brother, when he was in his early teens, about 30 years ago now, he was put in a home just because my parents couldn't cope, and he's pretty much in the same situation. He's got severe cerebral palsy and epilepsy as well, so he can't speak for himself. Just to paint you a picture, he's pretty much like a one-year-old baby sort of thing, so he can't feed himself. Wears a nappy and all that sort of stuff. Mm. So he was mistreated pretty much exactly the same way, started losing heaps of weight. My parents were starting to see bruises and stuff in odd spots, and they would always come up with an excuse that he's fallen, that sort of stuff. They started giving my parents set times to go in to see him, so they couldn't just turn up whenever they wanted to. And then that's sort of when my parents realised there was something going on. And so my dad decided one day just to turn up out of the blue. And when he did, he noticed, well, he found my brother in female clothing. So he was in a dress. He had fully soiled himself and had, so he had soiled himself and it was all the way up his back. It was a really hard time for my
that's
parents.
That's horrific. Sam, did they prosecute? Did anyone answer for what they'd done to him?
Look, it was a while ago, and I think just with the emotions and everything that was happening, my parents just got him out that same day. And
That is heartbreaking.
Look, ever since that, they've been too scared to put him back in a home
because
they just can't trust anyone. So it's been, you know, a really tough 30 years for him.
So, we feel for you, mate,
Sam,
and your family.
With the losing weight, so obviously they're not feeding him? Is that
or stress. You can lose, weight loss can happen through stress. I mean, the stress that Sam's brother's gone through.
And he's got no voice.
So they weren't feeding him much, and they were just, I think my parents sort of found out instead of feeding him, they were just giving him like vitamin tablets as well and that sort of stuff.
Sam.
And because he can't speak, they just didn't, until the signs were physically there, they had no idea.
How can you argue against CCTV when you hear cases like this?
Well, it's nobody should fall through the cracks. And the fact that your brother did, Sam, I mean, that is just heartbreaking for your family and your parents. I completely understand. They would never want to leave your brother alone again.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And the guilt that they must feel, because I'm, as a parent, I imagine, in a situation where you need help and you need someone to care for your child and to think that you exposed your child to that. I mean, my heart goes out to you and your family, Sam.
Yeah, and what you've said about CCTV is such a good idea, because not only does it protect the family and the patient, but at the same time it protects the people working there as well. So it's sort of like a win-win for everybody, really.
Yeah. Good point, Sam.
Sam, thank you so much for sharing that. And I know you can tell how painful that was for you to bring that up from the past. Now we've got Marina in Doncaster. Hi, Marina.
Hi, guys. How you going?
Well, Marina, this is a really tough topic because we've just heard that story from Sam, and I know that you have obviously your own experience having put somebody you love in a caring facility.
Yeah, well, we had my grandpa in a high care facility because he had really aggressive dementia, and the nurses there, or the healthcare workers, they weren't doing their checks properly. And we had an issue with a few of the nurses, and we tried to get a meeting with them all and explain to them and tell them, you know, what they're doing wrong. Because our grandpa, he could sort of semi-understand, but not really.
Mm.
And because he had aggressive dementia, he was sort of considered a bit of an outcast. I don't know. I think maybe that's probably why. And, they weren't doing their checks overnight properly. And we went into his room the next day, and he was unconscious. We couldn't wake him up, and we found that they weren't doing their checks properly through CCTV. They were meant to be doing their checks every hour, 2 hours or whatever it was, and they weren't doing it properly, and he died, I think maybe passed away a few hours later in hospital.
Oh, Marina, that must have been so difficult for you, and, you know, to find out through, I mean, whether it is CCTV footage or, you know, having to sneak in video cameras and see that your loved one, and in that case your grandfather, he's not being properly cared for, it is so heartbreaking for any family members who are entrusting the care of their loved ones. But I think it's really important that this isn't an issue on the agenda. I don't want anyone, I mean, the idea, guys, even us here in the studio, that any family member you had to put into a care facility like this and they were being mistreated should not happen. The buck stops somewhere, and I think it needs, enough's enough. Enough of these videos have leaked, and I can't believe that this has not been put forward as an important agenda for our government to discuss. But on that, I think we should finish by saying there are incredible, extraordinary people.
The vast
in
majority.
These, absolutely.
Vast majority.
In these care facilities that are loving and caring for
Thanks
these
for
people
calls.
In need.
Unfortunately, there were many we didn't get to, but we appreciate all of them.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
I'm scared. I'm genuinely scared. What's happened, I believe, in the last few days, at least the last 24 hours, my co-host, and I would like to distance myself a little bit from him. I've only known Fev for like a year and a half, really, when
Let's
you
just
think about it,
call
maybe
him
2 years.
The guy that's sitting next to you.
The guy that sits next to me, but quite a fair way away from me.
I can get further.
No. I will stand with you, my friend. I will. Just let me just get through this and let's see where it all lands. Brendan Favola, a few days on the show, said something that's reached Danny Green. Now, this was an explosive claim.
Because I thought he was in the jungle.
We all know Danny Green and Anthony Mundine are going into the jungle for I'm a Celebrity. Now, it is supposed to be the biggest rivalry. Those two are the people who hate each other most in Australia, and that's the way that we've perceived it to be between them. And then Fev made this revelation on the show.
Peek behind the curtain. They're actually mates.
See, you've told
me this
before.
There's a bombshell. But it was about 10 years ago. Chock was fighting. I was in his room to get some tickets. I knock on the door. In walked Danny Green and Danny Green's wife. He sits down. G'day, Chock. G'day, Danny. How you going? Give each other cuddles.
No.
And give his wife a kiss. And when he walked out, he goes, oh, no, we're mates.
Okay. Now, Danny Green, unfortunately, wasn't in the jungle. He wasn't in the jungle, so he's heard that. I do have the quote from Danny Green, which made... This was the most read story on news.com.au yesterday.
Yes, he was in a South African hotel with good Wi-Fi, Fev.
Yeah, this is his response to Fev's claims. I'm scratching my head at the completely false statements Brendan has made. He's called you by your first name.
Obviously, it wasn't him.
His claims are quite bizarre. Anyone who knows me or Anthony knows full well the ill feeling we have towards each other. The biggest rivalry in Australian sport for nearly two decades cannot be contrived. Favola has completely fabricated this story. For what reason, I do not know.
Ten's publicity probably obviously wrote that, but no. I've pumped up the show. People are going to watch, aren't they? Let's be honest. They did me a favour by getting me on the show and I got this job and now I'm doing them a favour. More viewers. But they did have an encounter in the hotel room and it was a civil one. They walked past each other. I'm not saying they're best mates, but they're mates. But when you get in a boxing ring, they're batting the shit out of each other. So of course they're going to hate each other. If you set up a fight for me and Byron and pumped it up everywhere, I'm going to get in that ring and I'm going to hate him and I'm going to bag him and I'm going to pot him. I'm going to pot everything about him. But then when we get off the box, out of the boxing ring, it's, hey, what's going on, bro? Let's get a beer.
I always thought that was the case. Boxers. I remember when I found out when I was a kid that wrestlers actually liked each other and that was all pretend pantomime. I just assumed that was the case for boxing too.
Well, you've got to think, Boxy, those two together. Well, I went to the first fight in Sydney years and years ago.
Mm.
Huge money. They made a fortune. Yeah. Hey, let's just not speak to each other in the public eye again for another 10 years and then we'll cash in when we're like 40. Bang.
Okay.
Smart.
Do you think
it is quite smart.
Maybe Channel 10's fear in all this is that perhaps they've invested in this deep-seated hatred. These two guys hate each other and you might have undermined it a little tiny bit.
Well, when you're going to... Yeah, I should shush.
Hey, no. Now,
is he in the jungle yet?
I think he's still listening. And
hi, Danny.
I love Danny.
Great good luck, Danny. Good luck in the jungle, buddy.
Met him a couple of times. One of the nicest guys
I've
met.
He's
a really nice guy.
But I'm mates with both of them. So
I know, and you are. And you're my mate. I was having a laugh before. I will stand with you, my friend. I stand by you. I believe everything you say. I know one thing about you, Brendan Favola. You're a man of your word. So I will stand by you. But the truth is, you've picked quite the nemesis. Like of all the guys to pick, to have a falling out with, you've picked possibly one of the hardest boxers that you could have in the world. I mean, Danny Green is a world champion boxer.
Have you seen me duck and move?
What have you done? I mean, he is, I just
okay,
think all the
build
fights
it up more.
You could have picked.
You build it up like Channel 10.
I know, but I honestly believe this. In fact, you've got a nemesis in Danny Green. 13, 10, 60, to make Fev feel better. Does anyone have a nemesis scarier than Danny Green?
I doubt it.
Have you picked a fight with somebody, just over a stapler in the office, and it was the wrong guy because he was your boss? Maybe you've had a nemesis scarier than Danny Green.
Make sure you tune in Sunday night, 7:30, Celebrity Get Me Out of Here. Green versus Mundine. Hey. Whoa, rumble in the jungle. I'm Team Green.
That
team Green.
Team Green.
Can I just point out also to Fev that Anthony will eventually leave the jungle and he'll hear what you've said too.
Team Chock.
Yeah.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9, The Fox.
I don't love doing this in a public forum.
I love you doing it.
I know you do, but I have an issue with one of you in the studio.
Well, you're looking at me.
Yeah, you, Byron. Now, I have to do this publicly, though, because...
Do you want to give me a call after the show?
No, because I need to make a correction on air. Yesterday, I did have to duck off. So about this time yesterday, I had to race back home because Trixie, my beautiful little four-year-old daughter, she's starting at her new kinder. So I needed to go to be there to make sure she was safe and happy in that new environment.
And we were very supportive, and I think it's great that you did. You've got the work-life balance, and I think it's very important on those monumental days for us to just hold the fort and support you.
Absolutely. Now, I was listening on the way home. It was actually quite fun to be a listener.
Yeah, because we pre-recorded a lot of the show so that you could drive.
No, but I was listening to you guys. Yeah, I was great. Listening to your chat, and I was writing some notes, things you could improve. Oh. And then I kept hearing you say something, and I thought to myself, well, oh, he's really got that wrong, because I think it's a very big difference between the first day of kinder and the first day of school. What? Now, can we just relive what you were saying on the air yesterday, Byron?
I'll press this button. Feb and I are holding it down because Feef, this is really cute, Trixie's first day of school. It's a big shout out to all the kids who've gone back to school this week. A big week. Feef is, and this is so cute, in the process of dropping Trixie off for her first day of school.
No.
You don't know what you've done, do
what
you?
What have I done?
Okay, so here's the thing.
I've been a supportive friend.
I heard it and I went, well, it's kinder, not school. My phone, my socials were smashed yesterday.
Why?
School's such a big thing. Trixie's in prep. I can't believe she's now at school.
Big difference. School.
I've got all my cousins saying, Lizzie's writing to me saying, oh, Trixie's off to school. I can't believe what a big day in your family. My mum, Pearl, she's getting messages. Trixie started school today. No, kinder.
How dare you speak of kinder like that as if it's not important?
Kinder is big,
totally
Byron.
Different.
But I think the first day of prep is that's your monumental occasion.
Okay.
And I was inundated by people.
I actually apologise because my son Zephyr in LA, they do things a bit different in LA.
Well, you're not in LA.
Well, he started a Montessori school when he was 18 months old. And so it all just kind of blurred. There was no big day at the next type of school. So
Montessori
for me, it's all
like that's fine. Prehistoric.
I just brought it up because
it's not a Montessoros. Montessori.
I just wanted to say for all the people leaving me lovely messages saying I hope Trixie enjoyed her first day of primary school. Just kinder, getting to school next year.
Sorry.
I would have made a bigger deal if it was her first day of school.
Boxy, the first time he said school, I actually said kinder.
You did, I heard
to
you.
To try to
correct him.
But then he kept saying, like he had it in his head. Mm. But I'd love to know, when you're in your car doing a little air check on your co-host.
Yeah, where we can improve.
Byron obviously's done a few things wrong. How did I go?
Fev, flawless.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9 The Fox.
This is our Friday feeling and it's all about...
Is it amazing? Yes, it's amazing.
Because here's the thing, everyone's got a story in them. It's that amazing thing that's happened to them or someone they know, and it's one of those stories where you just want to break out at a dinner party or at a social event and go, I've got to tell you this, it's amazing. And we, as a bit of a community service to you, we let you know how amazing it is.
Sure.
And it gives you the opportunity to maybe, if we didn't think it was amazing, work on your story. We're constructive.
Put some mayo on it.
Yeah. And I guess the challenge is to call through 131060 and to have us confirm that your story is amazing.
Yeah, I've got a good one for you.
Oh, good. I love this because I got one for you too.
Oh, good. So get ready with yours 131060, but Feb's going to set a bit of a benchmark here.
Okay.
Danny Green and Mundina Mates.
We'll have
Very
to play
funny.
That one. Well done.
I've got one.
I'll just get a quickly award.
Yes, oh, yeah. Well, I wouldn't have given
amazing.
That.
Well, it
amazing.
Is an amazing revelation because he's friends with him and he knows. And
Tell
he's ruined,
yours,
he's ruined the whole I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here show.
No,
because
I haven't. Mate,
push on.
People go into that jungle because of what happened.
Okay. How's this? Now, remember, I am trying to win you both over. You can control the outcome of this. I met somebody over the holidays, over the summer holidays, when I was in Hong Kong. So I'm in Hong Kong.
Okay, that's a fair way away from Melbourne.
Fairway.
Is the D-man all right with this?
No. Like bumped into somebody at a hotel who was from, they weren't even from Melbourne, they were from Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we were talking, they grew up in Brisbane, they'd lived in Hong Kong, they lived in Singapore, they lived all over the world. Got talking and I was telling a story about when I'd gone, when I lived in London a few years ago, not many years ago now actually, gosh, I was about 20. But anyway, I lived there and I lived with, I became really good friends in this Dossing house because we lived with about 8 other people from the UK and New Zealand. And one of them, her name was Lisa and she was from Perth. And this person said, oh, not Lisa Bowen. Now, I kid you not. Yes, it was Lisa Bowen. Of all the Lisas in Perth, this random person I met in Hong Kong, okay, who's never even lived in Melbourne, knew the girl that I lived with in London.
Not uncommon to travel to London.
Come on. Hey, that is have we out got a, of control.
Have we got a button? Get to the point quicker.
Okay. Now, it may have been clumsily told, but that is an incredible coincidence. If her name was Tamika, you might go, well, there's not many Tamikas in the world. Lisa? Are you kidding? It's all to be guys, I'm out. I'm done.
13, 10, 60.
I will never play that game again.
13, 10, 60.
That's one of the best stories
all right,
I've
here
ever
we go.
Told.
Yes, it's
amazing. Oh, you're weak, Byron.
13, 10, 60. Can you beat...
I thought you were going to say something else.
That story...
Fifi, Fev and Byron,
101.9,
The Fox.
That is amazing.
Is it amazing? Yes, it's amazing.
13, 10, 60, the number.
You call us with your amazing story. You like pitch it to us, tell it with all the mayo you can, dress it up. And then we at the end decide whether or not you have in fact told an amazing story. I told one before and I was told it was sort of interesting, which is still offensive because that was a cracking story.
That was generous.
So we've got Diane from Mentone on the line. Hi, Diane.
Hi there.
Diane, welcome to Is It Amazing? Tell us, what is your amazing story?
Well, I moved to Bugger with my children and I found a job there in the shop there.
Sorry, where did you move? Sorry, just a bit of a bad line. You moved where?
The Budgerum in Queensland.
In Queensland. You've taken your children to Queensland.
Children, yes.
I think probably just the first feedback. Just get that Budgerum name out clearly.
I think it was the phone line. Keep going, Diane.
Yeah, about 15 years ago it was. And I got a job in a bakery and I had to have glasses for up close work. So when I finished, I left the bakery, put it in my pocket. So when I got home, I didn't have my glasses. And I only just bought them before I moved from Melbourne to Queensland. They cost me a fair bit. So someone said, why don't you ring up the eye hospital and you can get cheap ones? So I rang them up and the lady who answered said, I said, well, I lost my glasses. I said, I need to make an appointment. I lost some Budgerum. She said, well, my husband was in Budgerum. What do they look like? He said, he found some glasses and he's got them. So I explained to him what they look like and we found my glasses.
Couple of things.
Your glasses, had them.
Now, how many people live in Budgerum? If it's a population of like four people.
No.
She's gone into an eye person and her husband actually is there. That is incredible.
Yeah, the lady that...
Yeah, not your husband, Diane.
Her husband was in Budgerum.
Her husband.
And found them.
And Byron, it's Budgerum.
Budgerum.
You're saying something weird.
That's amazing.
Okay, Diane, Fev and I, we're just having a quick consultation.
I don't often say it's amazing.
Well, you didn't say mine was amazing, though. So I love Diane's, but if that...
What are you saying about Diane's
I think Diane's is amazing, but then Fev didn't think mine was amazing.
Don't make it about yours.
Okay.
It's not about
Diane,
you.
Well done.
Yes, it's amazing.
Diane, well done.
Thank you.
Great story.
Thank you.
What about me?
If Diane's amazing...
It isn't fair.
Mine was phenomenal.
Yours was horrific.
Michaela and Hillside. Hi, Michaela.
Hi, guys.
Michaela, welcome to Is It Amazing? Pitch your amazing story to us.
Okay, so yesterday bought my morning daily coffee, just sitting on my desk. I was a little bit flustered, knocked it when I was attending to some work, knocked it off my desk, landed the right way up on the floor, no coffee spilled.
I don't need to think about that.
Yes, it's amazing.
I didn't even think that's possible.
Defies gravity.
Not a single drop.
So a coffee cup full lands on the floor. On its base.
It's like something David Copperfield would do.
I don't think even he could do that.
That's another little segment we call Little Wins.
Thank you.
Is it?
That's a win.
We don't have that segment.
We tried to launch it briefly early last year at about six.
I love that story so much. I mean, there would be people that would question it and say, is that actually possible?
Probably needs proof.
That's why it's amazing.
Yeah. You could just say anything on this segment, really.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Mate,
it's after nine.
We're not quite finished.